Wow. Welcome to Hope Singapore. Welcome to Hope. Today in Hope, we are celebrating Parents' Day. My name is Tim. I'm one of the pastors here in Hope. And today, I'm so glad you're here with us in the Axis online, celebrating Parents' Day with us. Now, if you are a parent, either you're a parent for 50 years and you're already grandparents, or you are young parents of a newborn, an infant, or even an unborn child you're expecting, okay, and you're ready to announce it, okay? Whether you are new with us or not, on the count of three, I want to invite you to stand because the church, we want to honor you and celebrate you, okay? So whether you're new or you're members of our church, if you're parents, on the count of three, please rise to your feet. One, two, three. Parents, let's stand. Grandparents as well, parents, grandparents, we honor you, we celebrate you. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for being here. So good that you're here. Please be seated. Please be seated. If today you're new with us and you're not a member of Hope, or you're just visiting us because a friend invited you, or your son, your daughter invited you, later on after the service, I'd love for you to just come here in the front. I'd love to meet with you, together with the other pastors and the other leaders. We just want to get to know you and just chit-chat a little bit if you want to get to know us as well. Today, my parents are here. My parents are here sitting at the front. I'm so excited. My dad and mom are here, and my dad and mom came here. They're not members of Hope, but they came here to support me, and I'm really glad. Mom, look, I'm on TV. Look. I want to show you a few memes. Memes are like funny pictures, all right, that some of you parents, you can connect and identify with. If it connects with you a little bit, you may laugh. If it connects with you too much, you might cry, okay? So let's watch the first one. Let's see the first one, okay? First one, this is Tom Hanks, and Tom Hanks is doing a reenactment of my life, okay? This is how I look in the morning, and then after that at 8 p.m. Next one, please. Isn't this true, parents? You say, stop, and then the kid goes, nah, nanny, boo, boo, and then 10 seconds later, they get themselves in trouble. And you're like, see lah, tell you already, all be quack, all be good, clean up, you know? Next one, please. My baby, after feeding them all the milk I have, all the precious breast milk that you feed into them, and then it all just comes out. Next one, please. The kid walking out of the shower, and then you walk into the bathroom, and it's completely flooded, right? Jack, where are you, Jack? And the last one, please, is a video. Wow, that is one rabak toddler, isn't it? You catch it, you see what's going on. I tell you, you grabbed the bird by the head, took the food and took it back. If you missed it, I'm going to show it to you one more time, okay? Roll that clip one more time. Wow, they put in the headlock. That's right. You know, parents, you are heroes because you put up with all this, you know. And I think if one day, right, we get all the parents in this room and then we just allow ourselves to swap stories about all the crazy, dangerous, scary things that all our kids have done, we will be here all day and all night talking about that. And what we actually, you know, remember of our parents, right, and what they have done for us is truly just the tip of the iceberg. You know, the truth is that parents sacrifice a lot for their children. Parents give up a lot of their lives for their children. And then what children end up appreciating their parents for, right, is just very, very, very tiny, maybe like 1% or less. Parents are truly heroic, but yet what they get appreciated for is so little. This year, in my son's Mother's Day card to Reisha, I asked him to be more specific about the things that he wants to thank his mom for. And so he said, thank you for bringing me to Jamtopia, which is a bouncy castle, and thank you for bringing me to Genki Sushi. And he actually drew the Genki Sushi symbol without referring to anything. So that's pretty accurate, right? But this is such an ungrateful boy, you know. He never, like, thank you for nursing me in your womb for 9 months, your body change, your weight change, your hormones change, you know. Thank you for breastfeeding me for a year. You barely slept more than 4 hours at a stretch anytime. Thank you for changing me when my poop overflows, when I vomit all over the bed. Thank you for spending money on diapers, on milk powder, on nutritious food enrichment classes. Thank you for sacrificing your life. Thank you for sacrificing your hobbies, your time, your energy, your career to take care of me. None of that, right? All he's thankful for is Jamtopia Genki sushi. But the truth is that most of us are like this. We think about our parents, right? What we remember, what we thank them for, right? It's just the tip of the iceberg. All the things that our parents have done for us is incredible, but it goes on behind the scenes. Recently, I did a photo op. We recreated a photo from many years ago, and the church asked me to do this. So I took a photo that I took with my dad many, many years ago, and then I tried to recreate it. Here's the photo. Tried to recreate it with my son. And I think the most points goes to Isaac. He managed to recreate my smile from many, many years ago. I think that's incredible. I remember that when I was young, my dad would bring me to football matches. And he would often bring me to the National Stadium to watch Singapore play in the Malaysia Cup. Now, in my 30s, right, when I smell cigarette smoke, I remember, that's the memory that it triggers. I'm reminded when I smell cigarette smoke, right, of the matches that we watch in the National Stadium, and then they will sound the horn, bah, 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 bah. And then I would shout as a young boy, along with everybody, and then my mom's like, you cannot say that! It's a Malay bad word, cannot! You know? And then we would shout, referee, got you! And then we would cheer, and then we would boo. There were even times, twice, when my dad would bring me up, we would drive up to Malaysia, to Selangor, to Shah Alam, to watch the Malaysia Cup final. Once we lost against Kedah, and once we won against Pahang. And I remember these that are etched in my memory, and my love for football came because my dad brought me to many of these games live and in person. And many of you know that I watch football and I support Spurs, right? And you may be wondering, how do you end up supporting this lousy team, you know? You might be wondering, right? And let me tell you the backstory, okay? So I was 7 years old. I was 7 years old and my dad was watching football on TV. It was the highlights of the weekend's matches that had already passed. Okay? Highlights. The match had already passed. And he was watching the highlights and they were going to show this match between Tottenham Hotspur, Spurs, and Manchester City. Okay? So, you know, like, this the actual match results, and if you recognize some of the names, right, it means that you're really old as well. Okay? That you can connect with some of these names. And so the match hadn't started yet, and I thought that clubs that, you know, Manchester should be quite strong, you know, because like at the time, Manchester United was very good. Not anymore, but back then. And then so I said, okay, I take Manchester against you, Manchester City against you. Then he's like, okay, very confidently. He said, okay, I take Spurs against you because he know the result already. It was over already. I was 7 years old, I didn't know that. So I said, okay, I take Manchester against you. Then after that, when the thing came out and then Spurs won 3-1. So he actually hustled me, you know. I was 7 years old and he hustled his seven-year-old boy who was his son. But then from then, right, I watched it and I'm like, wow, this team that won 3-1, that beat Manchester quite good. And that began a 32-year curse in my life where I'm stuck supporting this team. That they're so lousy. Because of you, Dad. All because of you, I'm supporting Spurs now for the last 32 years. My mom, right, she worked so hard to support us. My mom was a working mom. So she worked in a bank, but she also had three kids. Not just three kids, but three boys. Okay? So working mom and three boys. It was really tough for her. And her oldest boy, i.e. me, was very sickly. I fell sick very often. And my mom would often bring me to the doctor first thing in the morning. Before work, she would take a cab to the pediatrician in Tampines, bring me to the doctor. After seeing the doctor, she would then bring me to kindergarten, drop me off, and then head off to work. And I can believe that when she starts work on those days, right, it's like half the day or the entire day is gone already because it's so immensely tiring. When I was 9 years old, I got a very bad bout of sickness. I got pneumonia when I was 9 years old, and I was in a lot of danger because at the time, the medical science was not as advanced as today, and I was in the hospital for 14 days as a 9-year-old. And being in the hospital, my fever would run up to more than 40 degrees often. They had to drip me. They would poke needles in me almost every day. I was counting the number of needles because I really don't like needles. They poked in 14 needles over 14 days to drip in the antibiotics and the medication. And I was sick in the hospital, just lying there. My mom would stay in the hospital with me for the entire stretch of 14 days, doting on me, caring for me, just making sure that I'm okay, even cleaning up after me when I would vomit over myself, when I couldn't make it to the bathroom and I, you know, had an accident and I'll poop all over the floor because of the sickness and the virus and she would have to clean up after me. My mom really, really just does that, not for any appreciation, but because she loves me. And I want to just really thank my dad and mom for raising me, helping me be the person that I am today. And I believe, right, that whatever I'm saying right now is just like the tip of the iceberg. I mean, of all the things, maybe I'll get scolding from there after that. Of all the things, you know, that you remember I did for you, you remember that I bring you to soccer matches. Oh, man. But the truth is, parents, we sacrifice a lot for our children. There's a lot of what you do as a parent. There's a lot of what you do. Sleepless nights, the kind of things that you give up, your finances, you know, to raise your child, your energy, your focus, the money that you spend to raise them. You cook, you clean, you learn mathematics for them because your time was algebra, but now they're doing models. Teach them things here. All these things, right? But most of it doesn't get appreciated. Sometimes they even find you naggy. Sometimes they even get upset with you. But you sacrifice your career. Your career takes a back seat. Some of you quit your jobs to be stay home. You sacrifice your personal hobbies. You see other couples without kids or not married going on holidays, vacations, watching Netflix all weekend long, but yours are non-existent. And the worst thing sometimes is that they don't even know, or they, even if they know, they don't even appreciate these things. But you don't do it for appreciation or for them to clap for you. You don't do it because you want attention from them. You do it because you love your children. And you sacrifice a lot. And I want to just ask the church one more time to give all our parents a really, really big hand. Thank you. Thank you for all you do for your children. The Bible teaches a lot about parenting. And you might not be surprised by that because oftentimes we know the Bible is it teaches good principles, good values. The Bible often talks about how fathers to raise their children, fathers and mothers should parenting principles, as well as how children should relate with their parents. This might not surprise you, but did you know that the Bible and God also uses the parent-child relationship to reflect the relationship that He has with us? Now, this is interesting because those of you who have been in church, even for some time, you may not have thought of it like this. Oftentimes, we think that God projects His relationship with us. He's our Father in heaven. He projects His relationship with us to teach fathers and mothers, this is how you should parent your children. But did you also know that God uses the natural father-son, mother-daughter relationship to reflect His intended relationship with us? God uses the what happens in the natural to describe to us, give us a hint, a glimpse as to the kind of relationship that He desires to have with us. In the book of John, the apostle wrote that yet to all who received Jesus, those who believe in His name, God gave them the right to become children of God. So you and I, that if we have received Jesus, we become children of God. There's that natural parent-child relationship that exists. But not just that, a lot of times in the dynamic of the parent-child relationship, God refers to it to describe how we should understand our relationship with God. For example, the book of Matthew, Jesus Himself said that, which one of you, if your son asks for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, you will give him a snake? So if your son, your daughter, asks for good things, why will you give them evil things? Then He says, if you then, even though you are imperfect, you are evil, you are sinful, even you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? He's saying that if you already understand the father-son relationship, that if the son asks something from the father will gladly give a good thing, why can't you understand that how much more your Father in heaven loves to give you good things? But it's not just all good and nice and happy. There are times as well where the Bible points to another kind of dynamic. Here's what it says in Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says the Lord disciplines God. The Lord disciplines the one He loves and chastens everyone He accepts as a son. Next verse, please. Endure hardship as discipline. The Lord is treating you as His children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? Here's the author of Hebrews pointing to the very natural discipline that a father gives to his son. If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate. You are not true sons and daughters at all. Next verse, please. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us and we respected them for it. The Bible is pointing to a natural father-son, parent-child relationship and the discipline involved. Say, hey, when God disciplines you, it's not to punish you, it's not to hurt you, it's not to condemn you, it's for your good because He loves you. And so, embedded within this parent-child relationship, next verse, please. Next slide, please. Embedded within this parent-child relationship is a glimpse, an idea, a hint of the kind of relationship that God has with us. So parents, the way you see your child, you love them, you care for them. Many of you, you would do anything to protect them. You would want the best for your child, even at your own expense. You will give them your best, and you will take the leftovers. Parents, sometimes your child can frustrate you, can make you go nuts, can exasperate you, and yet you know that in your heart, you still love them all the same, and you will never stop loving them. And a lot of times, friends, parents, family, that's how God sees you. God loves you. He cares for you. Sometimes even at the expense of Himself. And that sometimes you may be maddeningly frustrating and exasperating in the way you lead your lives, the decisions that you make, and you keep turning away from Him. But God loves you, and He will never stop loving you because you are also His child. The unconditional love that a parent has for their child, one of the greatest, most unexplainable forces, God uses it to mirror His love for you. Today, we're going to share with you a story of a couple called Jeremy and Joel and their journey of parenting. Today, they're going to share with you a very tender, very personal experience that they went through. And through it, I hope you can connect with two things. Number one, their love for their son. And number two, God's love for them. Let's watch this.
Hi, I'm Jeremy, and I'm with my wife Joelle. We know each other since our uni days. That was like 20 years plus ago. Yeah, and we've been married for 14 years. We have four beautiful children, Jeroy, Jaina, Joan, and Jared. So in March last year, we realized that Joelle was pregnant with our fourth child, Jared. We were very lost in a sense because we don't know what to expect. There's a lot of uncertainty, there's a lot of disruption to our so-called plans that we already had with the three children. And moreover, we are also thinking that we are already struggling with taking care of three children, you know, giving them all the attention and to meet their needs. Then now God has given us the fourth one. So how are we going to even take care of this fourth one, you know?
I think when we first found out, I think I cried for days, not knowing what to do because I'm not exactly very young and I felt that being pregnant at this age is going to be very difficult, and managing the three kids was really tough. As a full-time working mom, it's going to be very hard to cope with being pregnant and taking care of a child, a baby, a life all over again. All this just overwhelm us so much. We will always remember that day. It's 21st April. We were doing our first trimester scan and Gani just came and tell us our child has various health conditions. We were like, God, are you joking? We just accepted the news that we have a fourth child and now he's going to be so special. So the gynae told us that it was unlikely that the baby was going to last beyond 20 weeks because of his various health condition. I remember asking Gani, is there any chance that the baby will be born healthy? And she said it was zero. So it was very devastating news. Every Gani visit was a dreadful one because we were prepared to receive news that the baby has passed on. I stopped talking to people. I just don't want to explain the whole situation. While people congratulated me for being pregnant, it was very tough to be happy together with them. But one day God came in doing service. He dropped me this name, Jared. It means he who comes from heaven. And it was just an encouragement that God telling me, this is my gift for you. And I think that prepared us to move on.
Like what Joel shared earlier, you know, every visit to the gynae is always, we always go there with a very heavy heart. Yeah, because we don't know when will it be the last time that we're going to see Jared. Yet at the same time also, every time we go there, we are also very excited in a sense because we know that that's the only time where we can really hear and know of Jared's presence in our life, you know, when we hear his heartbeat. Jared is a fighter. Against all odds, his heartbeat actually grows stronger and stronger with every visit that we go. You know, like what the gynae has so-called predicted that he probably won't last beyond 20 weeks. But when we go for our 24th week, when we go for our 28th week check, you know, the gynae in fact told us that, hey, Jared's heartbeat is getting stronger. You know, so there in us, in our hearts, you know, we do have a tinge of hope, you know, that hoping that Jared will really be able to come to full term and come out and meet us, you know, even for how short a time it will be. But then on the 4th of September, that was when Jared was born, yeah, prematurely at the 31st week. His arrival was fast and furious. You know, everything came very unexpectedly. In his short time with us, we were very thankful, yeah, that we managed to spend that few precious hours with him, to carry him, to hold him, to talk to him even. And I think also what is even more beautiful is that we managed to see Jared in his full form. You know, it's just like a smaller baby, but he's fully formed. You know, and we are very thankful for that. You know, that we at least managed to get to see him for that few hours before the Lord called him back.
Actually, for the longest time, maybe I didn't understand why God gave us a fourth child. And to accept him, to finally see him grow. I think there were more crying than happiness in dealing with his presence in our life, which is actually not the right thing for any mother. Like, how can you be pregnant and then you're always so sad? I mean, a lot of things don't make sense. And because we were prepared by the gynae all this while that every visit was a chance that he is actually gone. So every time I feel his presence in my womb, I feel like, okay, we're connecting closer. And when the gynae in fact told us there's a chance he can be full term, which is really a miracle by itself already, because all her past experiences tells her that the pregnancy doesn't last very long. So when he came to the world, that day, I think we'll never forget that day. I'm just so glad we got to see him, because we get to remember who he is. We get to take a picture of him. Yeah, so that I can recognize my son. Yeah. Jared taught me many things. He taught me empathy. Jared taught me how to ask for help and receive help. During this period of time, I think I've never felt so loved from our life group, our brothers and sisters around us, our friends, the LG mates. I think God's community has never looked so sweet because of really the whole community that came together and walked us through this journey. I think from this whole journey, I shared with my life group. So most of them are actually young adults. And one of the young believers shared that he understood what faith looks like now. He sees it through my life. And he cannot imagine how I can carry on through what I went through, but yet I did. And he saw God. I think that was an encouragement to me that through our story, people are encouraged.
Probably I'm the one who is the first-hand witness to Joelle through all four pregnancies. You know, so in the first three pregnancies, really, I've never seen such an energetic pregnant lady. You know, praise and worship, heavily pregnant, still can jump and jump and jump on, during praise and worship, you know. I am getting worried for her, you know. People around her were getting worried for her, but she is still so enthusiastic when it comes to praising God, you know. Yeah, so to the time when she is pregnant with Jared, I really do see the very big difference in terms of her physical strength and the discomfort that she's going through. Suddenly, from the first 3 months where I'm quite chill, you know, I don't need to do much. I just need to emotionally support her, occasionally ask her, are you okay, what you need, that kind of thing, you know, to where I really sensed and know that I need to be very close to her, to hold her and to support her and to comfort her through the whole episode. That was the time where I think I do see a very big difference, you know, how she has gone through Jared's pregnancy. Yeah, but through it all, I see that God is very faithful. God is indeed real, you know. As we struggle through this period of time, asking ourselves many questions, what if this, what if that, you know, the why this, why that. To be very honest, until now, we do not have all the answers to all the questions that we have still, you know. But yet, at the end of the day, we realize, you know, beyond all this questioning, we cannot deny the fact that God is indeed very real. God is indeed very faithful in our life through this whole journey. From the time where we come to accept that Jared is going to be our fourth child, to the point where we realize that he has special needs, you know, then we need to change gynae, we need to look for this and that. Having talks with all the pediatrician, the gynae, you know, about the what is to be coming for the child. We do see God's hand in every step of this journey. The PD and the gynae are both Christians. They comfort us, not only just telling us in a matter of fact, you know, the professional kind of possible outcome. You know, they prayed with us, they went through this journey with us, they explained to us. Even to the point where, you know, because we see Jared's heartbeat like getting stronger, so we were already making plans, you know. So what happened if, let's say, Jared is really to full term and he was born? You know, and then we need to make arrangements on how to take care of a special needs child. You know, so the gynae and the pediatrician actually went through this whole with us with God's perspective to us, you know, and not just only from a professional medical point of view. And that really tells us that, wow, God, you are really helping us through with these people that you have sent to our midst.
I really struggled with the idea of death, but now, through Jared's passing, I know that in eternity, God is there and Jared is there. So death no longer seems so scary to me. So when Jared passed on, actually I wrote the eulogy in an hour because I really knew what I want to write, and a lot of it was really inspired by God. God really told me what He wants me to write. And the idea was it was supposed to be an encouragement. So when I informed my colleagues of Jared's passing, I sent the eulogy to many of them, and many people reached out to me, colleagues who had miscarriage, who have children with special needs, which I never knew, reached out to me, and now we form a kind of special connection, and many of them are non-believers. So I think I see it as a chance to really impact them and share my journey with them, which is something that I never thought I would be doing.
I remember when we were praying for Jared's Chinese name, you know, at first we thought that she's going to be a girl because that's what the gynae told us, you know, so we have thought of the name like Le Xuan, you know, Xuan Yang the Xuan, you know, Yeah, so that was when we caught a glimpse of Jared's life and purpose in this world. You know, that God, why God has given Jared, given us the chance to be able to have Jared and even to see him for that few hours, even to have the opportunity to give him this name. Yeah, because his short moment with us is really taught me that, hey, our life is meant to share the good news to the people around us, you know, just as how God gave us this his name eventually. So from a girl, Le Xuan, you know, then when we finally realized that he's actually a boy, you know, so we thought that, oh, so the other one will be Le Yang, you know. That's the whole how we came up with his Chinese name. And true to his name, his short life has been a testimony. And during his funeral also, we get the opportunity to invite many of our family members and friends who don't know God to who came to attend his funeral, and through that be able to hear God's words and the good news as well. That also caused me to think, you know, that hey, so I've been a Christian for so long already, so what have I been doing, and what can I even do now urgently for God?
I think the song that really comforted me, that really, every time I sing, I think the church sing this song, I'll cry badly. It's the song, "All my life you have been faithful, all my life you have been so, so good.
With every breath that I am able,
I will sing of the goodness of God." I think that just tells us and reminds me God is faithful. For our family, we'll continue to sing of God's goodness all the days of our lives.
Shall we give Jeremy and Joel a big hand for their immense, incredible courage in sharing this story publicly with us? And through it, I believe you caught a glimpse of their love for their son, even though they don't know him. He never said a word, "Papa, Mama." He never did any activities with them. But their love for him was so incredible. And I think we can all connect with that love. Parents, you can connect with that love that you have for your children. And today, I just want to let you know that the love that a parent has for their child is a reflection of the love that God has for us. He loves us. He cares for us deeply. He wants to be in our lives, engaged and involved. He wants to be by our side, doing life with us. He wants to provide for us. He wants to help us through things. He wants to celebrate when we have victories. He wants to cry with us when we're hurting. That's the God that we have, our Father in heaven. But we are separated from God because of our sins. Sin of things like lust and pornography and extramarital affairs and anger and hatred and stealing and cheating and lying. But more than that, sin is a decision to live apart from God. We don't want to live the kind of life that God wants for us with Him. We want to do it our way. Sin is an act of rebellion against God. But God loves us so much that even though sometimes the way we live our life, the choices that we make exasperate God, He will never stop loving us because He's our child. And so He gave His one and only Son, Jesus, in exchange for our lives. The Bible tells us that God so loved you and I. God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, Jesus, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. So here's the thing. As parents, we've given up so much for our kids. Our time, our energy, our finances, our focus. We've sacrificed a lot of things. Our career, our hobbies, our health. But when it comes to God's turn to sacrifice for His children, what did God give? Here's what He did. He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus. The one that He loves, the one that had no sin, the one and only Son, Jesus, He He gave to us as an offering in exchange for you and for me. And the Bible tells us that if He, who did not even spare His own Son, but was willing to give Him up for us all, would He not also, along with Jesus, graciously give us all things? And if you are here today, there's some of you that you're invited by your friends, your neighbors, your colleagues. There's some of you that are invited by your children, your sons, your daughters. Maybe you've been putting off knowing Jesus. Maybe you've been putting off responding to God because you're just like, okay, one day, or it doesn't matter, y'all can believe this, but I'll choose to believe that. Or maybe you backslided away from God because you were once close to God, but then you got distracted, you got bored, you chose a different lifestyle, and you know it didn't honor God, but you chose that way anyway. You walked away from Him. And today you're here. I want to let you know this. God's love is meeting you here. You might think that coming to church, you'll face condemnation, you'll face guilt, you'll face shame, but no. God welcomes you home. And today, I want to pose you this question. What more does God need to do for you to show you that He loves you? What more does God need to do for you? He created you. He cared for you. He provided for you. He sent people into your life to tell you about His love. And most of all, He gave you everything. His one and only Son He did not even spare, but He gave Jesus up for you. What more can God give you to let you know, my friend, that He loves you so, so much? 还有什么他都给你了? Even His one and only Son, He's given you. Today, I want to invite you to make a personal response to say, Father in heaven, I want to respond to Your love. I want to receive Your love, and I want to reciprocate it by receiving Jesus into my life. And if this is you, in a moment's time, I'm going to invite you, give you an opportunity to make that response. But right now, I want to invite you to put away your things, put down your mobile phones, put down your bags, and just rise to your feet wherever you are. But don't be moving around the auditorium, don't be leaving or going to the washroom, but just put down your things, your bags, your mobile phones. Just rise to your feet right now, all over the auditorium. Right now, we're going to sing a song about how God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, Jesus, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And whether you're new with us or you're just visiting us, I want to invite you to join us as we sing of His great love.
He gave His only
grace.
By His grace I am redeemed. For He loved, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Whosoever believes will not perish, they shall have
For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, Jesus, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. The promise that God has given to all who received Him, all who believed in His name. Right now, we've come to the most precious and the most important time of today's Parents' Day celebration, where we invite some groups of people to respond to God personally. And whether you're a Christian or not, whether you're just visiting us for the first time, I want to invite you to respect this time by closing your eyes, by bowing your heads, by not fiddling around with your mobile phones or talking to the people around you. Even if you don't intend to respond, I want to invite you to respect this time by closing your eyes, bowing your heads. Don't be looking around, walking around, or talking. As we respect this sacred moment where some people are making a personal response to God. Every eyes closed and every head bowed. The first group of people are Christians. I want to invite you to respond to God. And I want to let you know that you're a Christian and you're already parents, and you all have different journeys of parenting, some exceptionally rewarding, some particularly difficult and challenging, and some downright discouraging. And if this is you today, I sense that the word of the Lord for you today is that at the end of the day, parenting is not just what you can do for your child, and it's not just focus on the outcome of how your child turns out. I sense that the Rhema word for you today, Papa, Mama, the word for you today is this, that parenting ultimately gives you a glimpse into the heart of God, into the heart of your Father in heaven. And through every victory that you celebrate, through every valley that you're crying and you don't know why things are going on and you're downright disheartened and discouraged, you get a glimpse into the heart of God and how He relates with us. And so parents, I want to pray over you right now. On the count of three, if this is you, I want to pray for you that in the rest of your journey of parenting, as you try your best to care for your child, protect your child, and give your very best for your child, don't miss the heart of God that He's placing in you. So if this is you, on the count of three, I want to invite you to put up your hand. You can lift up one hand, you can lift up two hands on the count of three. One, two, three. Up, 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 up. Parents, lift up your hand. Say, God, I want a glimpse of your heart. I want to see your heart. I want to feel your heart. I want to walk through my journey of parenthood, not just on my own, not just trying to fix my kids with my own strength, my own wisdom, but God, I want to do life with you. And each victory, each defeat, Lord, give me a piece of your heart, give me a glimpse of your heart, every step of the way in this journey. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please put your hands down. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please put your hands down. The second group of people, I want to invite to respond to God. You're here today. You're either a Christian or you're not yet. But you have lost a parent before. Some of you have lost both parents. Some of you have lost a parent recently and you're still grieving. Some of you have lost parents when you were young. You were separated from them. You never knew them because they left. And each time Father's Day, Mother's Day comes around, you grapple with, if fathers and mothers are so good, where are mine? And you had to grow up without your parent being in your life, present in your life. And today you're here and this is you. I want to let you know, my friend, my brother, my sister in Christ, that you are not forgotten. You are not forsaken. That even what your earthly parent was not able to provide for you, your Father in heaven has always been in your life, walking with you, raising you, protecting you, and providing for you. You are not forsaken and you are not forgotten. And if this is you today, right now, I just want you to put your hand on your heart. I just want you to put, you know who you are. You know who you are. I just want you to put your hand on your heart and I just want you to receive the love of God that God is pouring into your life, a reminder that He has always been an ever-present help in time of trouble. He has never left you, never forsaken you, always by your side. You think that you're alone, but He's there with you. He's encouraging you. He's strengthening you. He's lifting you up. He's protecting you. He sent people into your life, father figures, mother figures, brothers, sisters, peers, that you had to walk through and journey this life with. You are never alone. You have never been alone, and God will always be with you. Your Father in heaven loves you and will walk with you every step of this journey until your last and you are reunited with Him. And it's an assurance that I sense that the Lord wants you to receive today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Every eyes remain closed and every head remain bowed, please. The final group of people that I want to invite to respond to God today. You're here today and you're not a Christian. Maybe you just came because you wanted to be polite, somebody invited you, and you're here, and you hear about the love of God, and you know that that's real because you've experienced it before. Maybe some of you, you're here, you backslided away from God, you were once a Christian, you were once in church, but you left Him, you left the faith, you chose to live your own way, but today you're here, and you know that your Father in heaven is calling you home. My son, my daughter, come home. And He's welcoming you with open arms. If today this is you, either you want to know Jesus' love for the first time or you're sliding back to Him. With every eyes closed and every head bowed, I want you to lift up your hand. You can lift up one hand, you can lift up both hands, but I want you to make a personal response to God right now. If today this is you, when I count to three, I want you to lift up your hand without any hesitation, all right? Every eyes closed and every head bowed. Are you ready? One, two, three. Up, 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 up. Lift up your hand straight up. Yes, I see your hand in the front, in the back there, in the back there, in the back there. Yes, I see your hand. There are three hands over there in the middle. Is there anyone else? Lift up your hand straight up. You can lift up one hand. You can lift up two hands. Yes, I see your hand there, gentlemen, at the side. Is there anyone else that you know you need Jesus? Lift up your hand straight up. You can lift up one hand or both hands. Straight up, straight up, straight up. Thank you, Lord. Please put your hands down. Please put your hands down right now. Just put your hands down. Everybody, right now you can open your eyes. You can lift your heads and you can look at me right now. The number of hands that were raised, I saw about 5 hands, but maybe some of you didn't put up fully or it's too dark, I can't really see. But do me this favor, Hope Church member, if today you're next to someone who isn't a Christian yet or who backslided away from God, do me this favor. If you invited them or if you're just next to them, I want you to do me this favor in the next 30 seconds. Help me to extend a personal invitation to them to receive Jesus. Just ask them a question. Do you want to receive Jesus today? It's the best thing that can ever happen to you. You can use Mandarin if that's the heart language. 今天要不要接受耶稣? 要不要相信耶稣? 耶稣爱你, 神爱你, 我们上帝, 我们亲爱的天父, 爱你。 If this is you today, 30 seconds, just help me to extend a personal invitation right now, all over the auditorium, right now. Let's do that right now. 30 seconds. Thirty seconds is up. If you still need to talk to your parent or your friend or your visitor, by all means, you can continue on. Now, I just want to, one more time, by a show of hands, how many of you, you want to receive Jesus today? You want to slide back to Jesus? Can you lift up your hand? How many of you? I saw one over there. I saw three hands over there. Just lift up your hand again, one more time. Lift your hand straight up here in the front. Here in the front. You lifted up your hand, right? Anyone else? Anyone else that just now you didn't put up your hand, but you know you need Jesus? You're a bit shy, maybe your son, your daughter can raise up hand on your behalf. Or your friend, your neighbor, your colleague can raise up hand. Anybody else? Is there anybody else? Anybody? Any hands raised? Okay. Okay. Right now, I'm going to do something that we haven't done for a long time in our church. I'm going to invite those of you who want to receive Jesus to step out of your seat and come and meet us here in the front, all right? And the reason why we're doing this is not to embarrass you, but we want to make it as special for you as possible. If today you came with your family, I want the whole family to come down. If today a colleague or a friend invited you, the friend or colleague who brought you here will come down together with you. And we want to celebrate big time together with you this amazing decision you are making today to receive the Father in your heart, to receive the Father's love, to receive Jesus into your life. So whether you put up your hand just now earlier or you didn't, when I count to three, I want you to pluck up all the courage that you have, take a step out of your seat. Step out of your seat. Come and meet us here in the front. The friend, the family member who brought you here will join you, and we want to celebrate big time this decision with you. Are you ready, church? On the count of three, leave your seat. Come and meet us here in the front. One, two, three. Come, 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 come. Come, join us. Yes, leave your seat. Come, come, come. Whoever lifted up your hand, come. Join us in the front. Come. Come. Come, come. Join us in the front. Anyone else?
Whosoever believes will not perish.
Is anyone else? Come. Come, join us in the front. Come. Anyone else? Come.
For God so loved the world that He gave His only son.
Oh. These two gentlemen, just now I saw their hands raised, but I saw about three hands there in the middle there. And I wonder why you're not coming. But just if today you're next to someone and you know that they want to receive Jesus, just do me this favor, Hope Church member, just help me ask them, hey, do you want to come down to the front? And if they say okay, then you just come along with them, hold their hand if you need to, and just bring them down to the front. Is there anyone else that want to receive Jesus today? Especially those who lifted up your hands just now earlier. I hope you're not just airing your armpit or, you know, like there's something crawling on you, but you lifted up your hand sincerely, genuinely, you want to receive Jesus. So right now, just come to the front. Is there anyone else that you know you need Jesus? I'm going to give you one more chance. Come to the front right now. One, two, three, come. We're going to sing the song, and you just come, 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 come. Anyone else?
Come.
All right. It's okay. It's okay. For some reason, you feel shy and what? It's okay. It's okay. You stay in your seat. But the most important thing, I want to give these two gentlemen a big, big hand. We're so happy for you. We're so excited for you, because let me tell you, receiving Jesus is the best thing that can ever happen to you. God loves you so much. Your Father in heaven loves you more than you can ever imagine. And today, Jesus is going to come into your life, and you're never going to be alone, because the Father loves you. And one day when you die, you're going to be with God forever, in heaven for eternity. And it begins today with this decision. You understand what I'm saying? You understand? And it begins today. And the church is clapping, and you might be like, what's going on? Why? But I want to let you know that God loves you so, so much. And it begins with this prayer. I'm going to lead you in this prayer. Give me this chance, this privilege to lead you in this prayer. I'm going to say the words. You can just repeat after me. We're going to put this prayer on the slide behind me as well. It's just a prayer to say that I'm a sinner. I need Jesus. I want to invite Him to lead my life. All right? So pray this prayer together with me. Those of you online, those of you in Access as well, in the auditorium, that you know you need to say yes to Jesus, but you're not out here in the front. It's okay. Pray this prayer together with me, and the church will pray together with you. Say, Dear Jesus.
Dear
One more
Jesus.
Time, say, Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
I confess that I'm a sinner.
I confess that I'm a sinner.
And I want to thank you.
And I want to thank you.
For dying on the cross.
For dying on the cross.
For my sins.
For my sins.
Right now.
Right now.
I invite you.
I invite you.
To come into my life.
To come into my life.
Be my Lord.
Be my Lord.
Be my Savior.
Be my Savior.
Help me to become.
Help me to become.
The kind of person.
The kind of person.
I was created to be.
I was created to be.
I pray all this.
I pray all this.
In Jesus' name. And everybody say, Amen. Amen. Amen.